जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपीगण बाला गिरिवारधारी, गोपीगण बाला गिरिवारधारी, किशोर नंदन बजजन रंजन, किशोर नंदन बजजन रंजन, यमुना तीरा रम्य चाहरी, यमुना तीरा मन चाहरी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय विष्णु पा परमहंस जय सतर सत श्री श्रीमाधिपांगस ए सी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रीपुपार की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द बोधिस, ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड बोधिस, ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड बोधिस, ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांगा, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
It's a reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 4, Text 18. Mahashochatam Mahabhaga. Mahashochatam Mahabhaga. Atmajam Svakritam Bhuja. Atmajam Svakritam Bhuja. Anjanata Bhavna Sadai Katra. Anjanata Bhavna Sadai Katra. Daivadinastarasate. Masochatam Mahabhaga. Atmajam Svakritam Bhuja. Injanata Vanasadaikatra. Daivadinastarasati. Masochitam Mahabhaga. Atmajam Svakritam Bhuja. Injanata Vanasadaikatra.
Daiva Dinas Tadasate.
Masochata Mahabhaga Atmajansa Kajam Shivaja Jantavona Sadaikatra Daiva Dinas Tadasate Asochitam Mahabhaga Atmajam Svakitam Bhuja Jantavo Nasadai Katra Daiva Dinas Tadasate. Ladies, Asochitam Mahabhaga Devadinas Tadasate Masuchitam Mahabhaga Hamajam Svakitam Bhuja Dharmatavona Sadaikatra Devadinas Tadasate Mahashochitam.
Kindly do not be aggrieved
for what happened in the past. Mahabhago,
or
you who are learned and fortunate in spiritual knowledge. Atmajan,
for your sons.
Svakritam,
only because of their own acts.
Bhuja,
who are suffering.
Janatava,
all living entities.
Not.
Sada,
always.
Ekatra,
in one place.
Daiva Adina,
who are under the control of Providence.
Tada,
hence.
Asate,
live.
Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
O great souls, your children have suffered their own misfortune. Therefore, please do not lament for them. All living entities are under the control of the Supreme, and they cannot always live together. Please repeat, O great souls,
your children have suffered their own misfortune.
Therefore, please do not lament for them.
All living entities are under the control
of the Supreme.
And they cannot always live together.
Purport. Kamsa addressed his sister and his brother-in-law as Mahabhago, because although he killed their ordinary children, the goddess Durga took birth from them. Because Devaki bore Durga Devi in her womb, Kamsa praised both Devaki and her husband. Asuras are very devoted to the goddess Durga, Kali, and so forth. Kamsa, therefore, truly astonished, appreciated the exalted position of his sister and brother-in-law. Durga is certainly not under the laws of nature, because she herself is the controller of the laws of nature. Ordinary living entities, however, are controlled by these laws, Prakrite Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvashan. Consequently, none of us are allowed to live together for any long period. By speaking in this way, Kamsa tried to pacify his sister and brother-in-law. Om Agnatimadandasya Kananjana Shalaka Chakshur Umilitam Jaina Tasmaye Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitani Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandayam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Samshadivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Dapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwe Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripye Vanchakopa Truvyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishneva Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So this verse is a continuation of Kamsa's attempts to pacify his brother-in-law and his sister after he had done some very terrible things. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this verse is a continuation of Kamsa's attempts to pacify his brother-in-law and his sister after he had done some very terrible things by killing their children. So first he has gotten in and he's trying to explain his actions as being controlled by fate. And he's condemned himself to be acting like a rakshasa. So in this way, he appears humble and possibly even repentant for his action. And now he is giving them respect, not because they are parts of Krishna. They are human beings and deserve respect. Not because necessarily they are his own relatives, his sister and brother-in-law, but because Goddess Durga has taken birth from Devaki and Vasudev. So finally there is a event that caused Kamsa to stop and think for a moment. Maybe I am exceeding the bounds of morality and acceptable behavior. Maybe these are persons who are extraordinary and special. I should respect them. Actually, sometimes this happens when the conditioned souls experience an event of extraordinary nature, sometimes very catastrophic. Sometimes then they become a little respectful and they're a little bit tendency towards glorifying and praying to the Lord. After the 9/11 tragedy, where the Twin Towers were destroyed and many people died, it is stated that the people in New York, I don't know if any of you have been in New York City, I was there about a month ago, they have obviously traffic signals on every corner saying, walk, do not walk, green light, red light. But you see the people, it doesn't seem like there are any signs, any signals up there at all. They come and go whenever they want across the street. They pay no attention. People there are very self-absorbed, as they are everywhere, but you particularly seem to notice it there because everybody's got their own little attention, their own little area. They're concerned and not about other things. But after 9/11, it was noted that the people of New York would stop and wait for the signals to change before they would cross the streets. And at every street corner, there was some memorial in remembrance of those who had died in a great tragedy. And people would pray for their benefit and the benefit of their departed loved ones. So it takes sometimes a great event like that to turn people's heads. And material nature surely has no shortage of events to supply. We see lately in the world picture, so many events are happening, one after another after another. So Kamsa, you became a little respectful and actually a little amazed by this person who was his own sister, and yet somehow she was the mother of Durga, closely associated with Durga. So this is, again, the nature of the demons. They have no respect for Krishna. They're inimical towards Krishna. But Durga, the controller of material energy, they respect. Because their vision cannot go beyond that. They see that their respect for Durga will allow them to accomplish what they want, give them their sense gratification, their fulfill their desires. She is like the prison guard. So if you please the prison guard, you may get to have some special privileges in the prison. But what they don't know is that Krishna is the overall superintendent, and he can release one from this material suffering. So Prabhupada quotes this verse, Prakrite kriyamamani gunai karmani sarvasha ankara vimudatma kartam iti manyate, from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 27. The spirit's soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. So when I was reading the purport, I thought it particularly helpful and insightful to this particular verse and purport. So I will read that now if you don't mind. Two persons, one in Krishna consciousness, the other in material consciousness, are working on the same level. They may appear to be working on the same platform, but there is a wide gulf of difference in their respective positions. The person in material consciousness is convinced by false ego that he is the doer of everything. He does not know that the mechanism of the body is produced by material nature, which works under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. The materialistic person has no knowledge that ultimately is under the control of Krishna. The person in false ego takes all credit for doing everything independently. and that is the symptom of his nescience. He does not know that the gross and subtle body is the creation of material nature under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as such his bodily and mental activity should be engaged in the service of Krishna, in Krishna consciousness. The ignorant man forgets that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Rishikesh, or the master of the senses of the material body, for due to his long misuse of the senses and sense gratification, he is factually bewildered by the false ego, which makes him forget his eternal relationship with Krishna. So this is the problem, material world. Everyone is acting, and they're acting in a certain way, in a way that they're trying to maximize their own enjoyment and minimize and hold off the miseries, the sufferings of this material world. So in this way, there's this constant endeavor to adjust material nature. And whatever they do, or we should say whatever we do, we think that I caused it. I made it happen. I feel that if I do some work and I earn some money, that money is mine. I work for it, it is mine, I deserve it. Or if I accomplish some deed, I deserve the praise because it was me who accomplished it. It was by my powers, by my expertise. Whether it is bringing up our children, working a job, or some other achievement, education, whatever it is, we think that we are the ones that are accomplishing it. When we get a good grade in school, then we think, I did it. I studied, I understand it, I did it. But this is not actually a fact. Krishna says that he's supplying the intelligence. It is he that is giving living entities all their abilities. He is the ability in man. And Krishna is the super soul within the heart. So unless he gives a sanction, no one can accomplish anything. He's the ultimate permitter. So two people can be doing the exact similar activity, and one will get one result and one will get another, because it's all not under their control, but under the control of some superior force, material energy, and ultimately Krishna. So sometimes also as devotees, we also have this mentality that I am the doer. We think that, you know, if I execute so many activities, chant so many rounds, attend so many kirtans, then I will be very advanced. I'll be a great devotee. But Bhakti Devi is independent. She can favor someone if she likes. And even after a long endeavor, she may not favor someone. So it's not our endeavor that is causing us to advance in Krishna consciousness, but rather it is Krishna's pleasure when Krishna is actually pleased. So in approaching devotional service, we have to keep certain things in mind. First of all, we have to hear and respect those persons who we receive this knowledge from. How do we respect? We respect by following their instructions. And we also respect by sharing that information with others. Just like Mother Sri Vrindavan, she was leading up so many attempts for book distribution this past month. so that we're attempting to share that knowledge Srila Prabhupada has given us with others, so that they may be benefited. And this actually pleases Krishna. When Krishna sees that we're endeavoring to help another living entity come close to him, Krishna is pleased. Because he loves all his parts and parcels. And he wants them all to be with him in a blissful relationship. So Krishna is pleased like this, and we should endeavor to keep that arrangement, relationship with Krishna, relationship with Guru and Krishna. We keep that in mind, then we can always remember, you know, I am not the doer, but I am simply acting under an order. Under an order. So recently I was in Chicago and St. Louis for about 2 weeks, traveling with His Holiness Rumapad Swami. And in Chicago we had a seminar, which I actually got to make presentation in. And many of the people who are attending, they're all from outside, they're working. They have a very active bhakti riksha programs. So they had over 150 people there, devotees, who live in their homes, they work, they live some distance from the temple, hour, 2 hours, sometimes more. But every week they get together and they chant, study, practice Krishna consciousness in their homes. So they're all, whenever I talk to them, they're all asked similar questions. The theme of the seminar was how to always remember Krishna and never forget him. Something we heard, Rupa Goswami gave us that instruction as the essence of all the Vedas, all the Vedic instruction in one sentence. To always remember Krishna and never forget him. But it always seems like quite a challenge when you try to live your day. Those who are working, suddenly you're outside of the temple atmosphere, outside of the situation in which you can perform your sadhana, and you're faced with so many non-devotees. So how to remember Krishna under that situation? Where you're reporting to non-devotees, you're in association with non-devotees for 8 hours or more. Seems disconnected, but it's not. When we keep the proper focus, when we keep the remembrance of what we're doing and who is actually in control. So, the same thing in a household. Sometimes there's so many household duties. The young people, they have to study in school. They have so many classes to attend, and it seems that maybe Krishna is not there when I'm studying mathematics, when I'm there with my friends writing so many notes and interacting in so many ways. Krishna seems to be a little distant. Kind of gets a little fuzzy. But he shouldn't be. We need to know that Krishna is always there within our hearts. And it's difficult when you're surrounded with people who are thinking that they are the doer. And they're interacting with you, they're directing you. They're associating with you different ways. But we can be independent of that because we are connecting with Krishna in our consciousness, with our heart. And that is the essence of where we have to be, whether you're in the association devotees or not. We have to connect with Krishna as being our true guide, the person who is there to be pleased by our every endeavor. Whether we're taking care of household duties, or we're trying to work and earn a living, or we're studying in the school, who is it we're doing these things for? It's ultimately to please Krishna, because he has assigned this particular duty to me or to you. So additionally here, there's this concept that Kamsa is bringing forward, that living entities cannot always stay together. And that is described that we are traveling. We are like so many pieces of straw that come together in the ocean. And they're together for some short period of time and then dispersed again, never to be in association again. So although Kamsa here is giving this high philosophy, he is not able to practice it. Those who he wishes to be together with are those who please his senses. His children, his wife, those friends he's chosen to associate with. So the demoniac think that they can stay together forever with Krishna. I mean, not with Krishna, obviously, but with their loved ones. But material nature does not allow this. They are thrown about in the waves of material energy, and at any moment they can be separated, never to come together again. So this is the concept, you know, that I am this body, and this body relationship, I have different people. One is my master, one is my servant, one is my wife, one is my son or my daughter. And these are the conceptions of bodily identification that are all controlled by material nature. And that we are just gathered together like so many pieces of straw in the waves of the ocean, and inevitably we'll be separated. I'm sure all of you have your family, your relatives. I know I do, and they get together, especially during the Christmas holiday seasons, and they celebrate, and they recall all their activities and try to enjoy together. But these associations are very temporary, and we identify with them as being important and permanent, but in fact, they cannot be. They're all under this illusion. They're all created by this illusion that I am this body, and that those related to my body are connected with me. But that is a great illusion here. And the devotee, as we are reading, he has a different conception. He knows that he is connected with Krishna, and that everyone else is also connected with Krishna. So when we are having that vision, that understanding, the relationships can be developed correctly. We relate to each other because we are all related to Krishna, and it is pleasing to Krishna that we have these proper relationships. Krishna is pleased when his devotees are pleased. So when we take care of his devotees, when we assist the devotees, especially in remembering Krishna, Krishna is very pleased. And so these make our relationships very powerful and very cohesive. They work very nicely. But when we keep ourselves in the center, then everything becomes difficult and a struggle, because inevitably there is some friction. What I desire and what you desire are going to be different. And there will be inevitably some friction, some difficulty, which cannot ultimately be worked out on the material level. On the material level, things are endlessly changing and mutable. And we all exist with our own small center of interest. And when something conflicts with that, it is cause of difficulty and pain for us. So Kamsa, he's thinking that, he had been thinking that Devaki and Vasudeva were going to be the source of difficulty and suffering. So he was not afraid, he was not hesitant to kill his own, their children, one after another, his own nephews. Very atrocious activity. Newborn children, just killing them one after another. But he did not hesitate. So this is the nature of the demoniac, and we have to ourselves know that sometimes we bring our attachments with us in Krishna consciousness. Although we're trying to be devotees, we still may bring some attachments with us. So how to get free of these different attachments? It's not so difficult, not so easy, because we are not inclined to give them up, and we may not even recognize them and what they are. So how to give them up? By associating with devotees. And this is the key. As you associate with devotees in the process of Krishna consciousness, you hear and chant together, the purification that takes place. And in that association, not only do the attachments of the mind get reduced, but the material mind can be actually dissolved and placed with a spiritual attachment to Krishna and his service. So we want to seek out that association for that purpose, so that we may advance in our Krishna consciousness, and we may come closer to Krishna, which is our real relationship. Our relationship with Krishna is that which is eternal, it never ceases, it never breaks. And it is the source of the greatest pleasure and happiness. What we seek here in this material world as happiness is an illusion. It's a mirage on the desert. One day it's there, and the next day it disappears. We think if I have this car or this house, if I have a nice warm heater in my house, that I'll be happy. And then we get the electric bill and realize it isn't quite what I thought it was. Or something else happens. So then we try to adjust and go further, and again it eludes us. So in this way, one goes on life after life, trying to attain happiness and make adjustments to avoid suffering in this material world and never finding true happiness, because it's not here. This is not where you find it. So we have to find that in relationship with Krishna. And Kamsa, he will find his relationship with Krishna soon. But unfortunately, it will be that Krishna will take away his life because he's so inimical to Krishna's devotees, causing them so many difficulty and suffering. So I will stop here and ask if there's any questions, comments. Anyone want to add something? Okay, first Mother Rangavati.
Hi, Bob. You said that you could dissolve the material mind. I don't know that I've ever read that miraculous statement anywhere, but I'd like to know where that was. Where is that statement, you can dissolve the material mind?
I don't have that reference handy. Kapila Dev's instructions. Yes.
Nirginam analojata. This is the verse. Third canto. Oh, yeah. You have a better base. You can.
If you write kosam, K-O-S-A-M, kosam.
Also, it's interesting to note that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur commented on that verse, and he said instead of dissolves, he said digests. And he said the reason he said digest is because digestion starts at the first bite. He says it may take some hours before it completes, but as soon as you start bhakti yoga, the process starts. And then he said the next part of digestion is that it separates what you're doing into two categories. Like when you eat something, it gets separated into nourishment and waste. So as one performs devotional service, his spiritual senses become enlivened, and his material ideas that come into his mind are rejected. Accept those things favorable, reject those things unfavorable. In this way, the subtle body is being, the material subtle body is being digested. I thought it was interesting how he said that.
Very good. Thank you. Bangovinda, there's a few others, so.
It's one of those, perhaps a dumb question, but nonetheless, I'll ask it. So, in the Western tradition, oftentimes, in those who follow Christianity, so they're praying to Jesus for so many material things.
Yeah.
You know? So, what happens with that prayer? Does that get transferred over to Goddess Durga?
Durga. Does it get transferred to Durga? Krishna is in control of material nature. And Krishna is the ultimate sanctioner and permitter of all activities. And Krishna will give you what you want, but if you don't want him, you won't get him. If you want your material happiness, you can have that very easily. So they can get that. In every religious faith, the faith is created because there's some element of truth. And that truth creates faith. But people maintain their material attachments and material visions, and therefore they cannot completely approach the supreme destination. Okay? Prangavinda, please.
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this misuse of free will that causes these prayers to ask for material things. Or you have mentioned attachment, material attachment, material passion, all this. But in reality, he also explained the soul's inheritance for Krishna, attachment to do something for Krishna. So until, like you said, until it's revived towards Krishna, these things cannot be destroyed. In third chapter Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, lust is a transformation of pure love coming in contact with mode of passion in the material nature. So lust cannot be, in one sense, lust cannot be destroyed until pure love comes, pure love for Krishna. So in that sense, we should see that everything is for Krishna's pleasure. Until that thing's artha, or the real wealth, appears in the heart, anartha cannot be destroyed. Otherwise, this idea of yoga, dana, brata, karma, all kinds of idea, why rejected? Because of this. Prabhupada pounded again. In Elevation, Mother Mukhya gave me that book yesterday. One I was just reading other day, yesterday also. Prabhupada said, the Subhadra, we generally in Ratha Jatra, we say, Jai Subhadra, Jai Jagannath, Jai Baladev. Oh, Subhadra also expanded to Maya. Now if Maya Devi appears, will we say Jai Maya? But this is Subhadra's expansion. So if it, Prabhupada put a very heavy statement that we have to see everything is connected with Krishna, otherwise not. And by the way, on this Sanatana Goswami Pad writes, Kamsa is not really Rakshasa born before. What caused in him Rakshasa is the association. Yeah. That as soon he conquered Narakasura's party, that Agasura, Bakasura, these are all under Narakasura before. So Putana came to fight. He said, no, I don't fight with the ladies. He has some criteria. Because I defeated your brother, I'll take you as a sister. So Putana became an object of affection so much that Putana's influence made him to Rakshasa. Otherwise, he was a demon. Demon means predominated by Rajagun. Rakshasa means predominated by Tamagun.
So only he was predominated by Putana?
Yes.
What about his brother-in-law or father-in-law?
Father-in-law is Jarasandha.
Yeah, he was.
Jarasandha is out of fear. Actually, he gave his two daughters to Kamsa, because when Kobalaya Pido came and reported that Jarasandha, you're trying to conquer this whole universe or world. Do you know what I just came from? Because they are having a big dinner party. All of a sudden, from sky, big elephant just dropped. So he's like, what? How? Kobalaya Pido, a big yogi, turned into an elephant body. So he said, where are you coming from? So I was traveling all over and I went to the top of Mandar Hill and I found this big, one boy, I never saw such a powerful. You will not believe it. I saw a big demon more than powerful than you just came and he gave a fist, conscious fist. And I can go on. I mean, how much strength it is. One fist, he pushed him out of the gravitation of this earth, 800 miles. No airplane goes straight up, it goes around the earth. So he put him out of the gravitation and then dropped back to where Jarasandha having a dinner. So then he explains. He said, you want to conquer? Just forget it. You are trying all this. So then he says, how do I pursue? So they investigated, oh, he was not married. Okay, very good. Jarasandha had two daughters, Asti and Prapti. He said, send them as a dowry for his wife, as his wife. So that's how he subdued. And of course they had influence, the wife had influence.
Any other questions or comments? All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, all glories to Srimad Prabhupada.